Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the hell you're at in the world. Welcome to the second episode of the Forest Walker Podcast. Pew, pew, Forest Walker Podcast. Sick ass intro. Pew, pew, pew. Smoking a ganja, yeah, man. All right, well, this video, it's not a video, it's a podcast. This episode is sponsored by Free the Llama. It is versatile apparel for the adventurer in all of us. They have a unique clothing line, all llama-based, and you can find it at freethellama.org or .com, whatever you want to do. And what's great about that is it's actually me and my friend's little business here, and he's here with me today. This is Josiah Norby.
How's it going, guys?
So, you are a kind of co-business owner. We've been kind of radio silent on that for a bit. We should have a meeting at some point and talk about that stuff, but
I was actually just thinking about that the other day. I'm planning on revamping my Astrovan, and thinking that as I'm revamping it, why not put a Free the Llama logo on the side?
That would be dope.
And I was thinking that we could just kind of like, I guess, social media, the transformation, you know? As kind of like an advertisement for Free the Llama, just slowly, like...
That is an awesome idea.
And that was kind of my idea, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, we've been out of it for a while.
We have. Yeah, no, definitely. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I was thinking I could just, like...
So just a big, like, vinyl logo on the side, or vinyl? I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah, like a big vinyl logo that just says, like, Free the Llama. We can do some...
That's a good idea.
Throw some ideas out there.
Do that with your Astro van. Yeah. We could even do that with my van, too, and, like, do a fantastic thing.
Yeah. And I was thinking, because I was thinking about this, and I was like, well, if this, like, I mean, obviously it's going to go places, but for some reason, I was like...
Obviously.
Rare case, doesn't go anywhere. I was thinking, I'll still have this awesome van that says Free the Llama.
Yeah, and everyone will be like, what the hell is that? And you can tell a story.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you're an old man living in your Astro van and everyone's like, that crazy ass old guy with Free the Llama, and some curious teenager's like, hey.
Hey, what's up?
What are you doing?
Son, let me tell you. Back in the day, back before we had to smoke crack to have fun. That's going to be like, what, the year 2000 and what?
2020?
Hey. I'm not going to age that fast.
No, when you have to smoke crack to have fun.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant like how I was going to be old. I was like, what?
No. No, you're getting there. That's Ryan. He's an old guy.
Old man.
Ryan Everest. Silly guy. No, but speaking of crack.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Heard you you went out of country. You went on some foreign expeditions in the Great Plains of Canada.
Yeah, I went to Canada for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Mother's Day was a fun trip. I mean, it was... So we got across the border, and our hotel was, I kid you not, 5 minutes from the border. So it didn't really feel like I was in Canada.
You just, like...
Except for... I knew this. This was the moment that I realized that I was in Canada.
Someone smoked pot.
No.
Oh.
No, actually, no one... I didn't see anyone smoking pot, which was weird. Mm-hmm. But no, I walk across the... I go across the border. I didn't walk across. I drove across the border. And I'm sitting there. And everything just seems normal, other than all the speed limit signs say kilometers, and everyone's acting a bit funny because it's like a tourist town. And
oh, yeah.
Lord knows I hate tourist towns.
Hashtag
and I'm sitting there. And then I'm walking down the streets early in the morning. I'm looking for a pair of sunglasses because my sunglasses got chewed up by a dog, and I was like, I can't do this, so I just need to find a new pair of sunglasses. So I went to an ATM, pulled out like $40 cash.
Nice.
In Canadian, because I wasn't sure if my card would work at these like little shops.
Mm-hmm.
Go to find some sunglasses, and I pass somebody. And instead of, like, you know, when you're walking around the street here, down in the States, everyone just kind of, like, diverts eye contact and just, like, walks around you.
Unless they're a crackhead, then they give you a hug.
Yeah, other than that. But, you know, this person, like, makes eye contact with me and says good morning as we're walking on the street.
Wow, that's really pleasant.
I know. It's not like I'm walking by a shop and they're working there and it's their job to greet me. It's like, nope, this person...
They're just genuinely nice people. Wow.
Yeah. And they were just like, and I was like, this is Canada.
But what was it, like a, oh, good morning, or it was like a good morning, get the fuck out of my country?
It was like a, oh, good morning. How's it going?
Like an authentic.
Well, I was walking alone. I wasn't with my hippie family. So it was obvious that I could have been Canadian if, like, I needed to blend in. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, like...
Yeah, you're tall, blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Notice how earlier I said the States. That was my cover. Every mm-hmm. time I would say something there, they'd be like... I'd just say, oh, yeah, down in the States, it's different. And then I would kind of, like, build a rapport with them. They'd be like, oh, he calls it the States, too.
Hmm. So you found a way to communicate to the foreign peoples.
Exactly.
Nice. What town were you in?
Osoyoos.
Osoyoos?
I still don't even know how to spell it or say it properly. I'm pretty sure Osoyoos is the proper way. It's in the Okanagan Valley, just across the border. It's the biggest.
Is it south of Vancouver?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
But it's like right up in the Okanagan Valley, and because it is like the warmest climate you can get in Canada,
mm-hmm.
it has like the biggest, densest population of vineyards and wine growers, because that's as warm as they can get in Canada.
Wow.
They can't, like, here it's like most of our vineyards and stuff are down in California. Like, we don't have very much wine here in Washington, because mm-hmm. we're like, well, why would we grow here when we can go grow in hotter climates? For them, it's like, we can't grow
any more south.
So they come right up to the border of us. But then they're also like, but we're not going to live in America.
Oh, fuck.
So they go as hot as they can without living in America. And that is the Okanagan Valley.
Wow. All right. That's interesting.
I know. I felt like...
And they wouldn't want to, like, import wine from the U.S. and...
Well... Because I did, like, a wine tasting thing, which was subpar at best.
Oh, yeah, you're 19. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually my first time getting carded, because the guy was like, I was like, I'm 19, and he goes, I've got to check just in case. But
it's like, bro, that's why I came to Canada. Come on.
Yeah. No, he was talking about how, like, even on their 10-acre wine vineyard, they still, like, make, like, 10 different varieties of wine or whatever.
Wow.
Or anything like that. And it's like, 10 acres, that's not a lot of grapes. Like, you cannot make much profit out of it. So, yeah, they do import quite a bit.
Yeah.
But he owns that business, and part of his passion is just making his own wine.
Just making different types. And that's cool.
And so, for him, it was more of, like, I want to make my own. I don't want to just drink wine and then have people show up and I teach them how to drink it. I want to actually make some of my own that they drink.
Teach people how to drink.
That's exactly what it was. There's a lot of sniffing involved, a lot of swirling. Sure.
Well, can you demonstrate for me with this wine glass full of coffee?
No, everyone's going to think that we're dumbasses because no one can see what we're doing.
Yeah, they can't see, but I want to see this.
So you want to swirl it because you want to get that wine to breathe.
So you're swishing it up?
Swishing it up. Okay, and then you're going to sniff it.
So is that aerating it right there? Or what's that?
Yeah, doing? Yeah. You're giving it oxygen. And then when you sniff it, so you can go, like, when you go... like, in the center of the glass,
mm-hmm.
you get more of, like, the aroma of the actual wine itself. But when you drop down, like, closer in everything, it's even better.
Oh.
Like, because when you're just, like, sniff out in the middle, what you're mostly getting is the alcohol. I'm not sure why or what the science is behind it, but you're getting, like, that hit of alcohol, and you're just like, yep, that's just...
That's just alcohol. Turns to a gas, and, yeah.
But if you tip it closer like this, and you drop your nose down close to the cup... you get more of the actual scent and flavor of what the wine is going to be.
Fruity aroma.
And it kind of gives you that idea of, like, what you're getting into.
Nice. And then you, like...
And then you got it. Then you do it. You give it a sip. But this sip is designed to, like, kind of swish around your mouth. It's called the prime.
Mm.
You, like, prime your mouth with it. And that's just, like, it's not supposed to taste good. It's just supposed to get you ready for the rest of the glass. Mm. And he was telling me that sometimes it takes, like, 3 or 4 sips to, like... prime and be able to enjoy the wine. And I was like, at that point, what are you doing if you're already halfway through a glass before you even enjoy it?
Just finish it.
It's like, you better get to the, like, that's why everyone finishes the bottle at this point, because they're like, we finally got to the point where we're enjoying it, we're gonna enjoy that.
That's awesome. All right, so you got to go wine tasting with your mom.
Were you... she didn't actually go.
Oh, what?
We were there for Mother's Day weekend, but there was only 4 people that could go to the wine tasting, and she was like, you should go, it'll be a good experience. So I went instead of her, and she stayed with the kids.
Well, that's nice of her.
It was nice of her.
Very motherly thing to do.
The reality of it is neither of us really like wine, so it wasn't like it was either of our favorite thing.
You go, no, you go, no, you go. Yeah.
I don't have to sit there and taste wine.
That's interesting.
Was interesting.
So, how far away is that from Vancouver?
I don't know exactly. Huh. I slept for most of the car. I mean, I'm trying to remember. The Okanagan Valley.
You weren't driving though, were you?
No. All the right. Okanagan Valley, pretty much, like, you're following the Columbia River, mm-hmm. and you're going up past Chelan.
Oh, so it's more east than I was thinking.
Yeah, it's okay. Pretty far east. Like, it's like if you're in Wenatchee, it's basically the same, like, terrain, and it looks the same, like, mostly clear rocky hillsides with some trees here and there. It's beautiful, but it's definitely, like, that hotter, dry, like, not quite high desert, but definitely more, like, sagebrushy climate. Excuse me.
Yeah. I heard you went to Canada, and I thought you were in Vancouver or something. I was going to ask you about what you saw regarding homelessness and the fentanyl epidemic, but you were in Vineyard land, so
yeah,
I assume there wasn't any, like, tweakers running around.
That was not the case. Now, however, I was just in Seattle, which is a...
Oh, yeah, you went to that Sounders game.
Yeah, which is also a prime example of...
Yeah.
Which actually, so, I don't know... How many of the listeners will know this area, but you know that area when you're coming off of the ferry in Seattle, like down on the, just right down on the port in Seattle, you're coming off the ferry, like the big overpass and everything like that. So I don't know, like in the last few years, every time I'd go there, it'd be like, you know, tents everywhere, stinks like urine, you know, there's still just as much traffic, but it's like tents everywhere, lots of people, you know, lots of people panhandling. But this last time I was there, they have started to demolish that overpass that is directly, like, right from the coast in. So they're tearing it down.
So they're making homeless people more homeless.
There are no tents there. There was, like, I saw, like, one spot where there was a couple tents right next to, like, the entrance where the guy, like, the workers drive in.
Oh. Yeah, they should probably, like, I don't know. I guess that's not really one of their main concerns, but if they're doing that, they should, like, try to provide accommodations for people that are living under that overpass. You would think, I mean, just as a humanitarian thing.
You would think. I don't know. Everyone has a different opinion. Some people are like, screw it. The shipping, you know, shipping homeless people back and forth is definitely not a new thing.
Yeah.
That happens quite often. Yeah. A little battle between Seattle and Portland. Mm-hmm. But they do have a law, which some people think it's a good thing, some people think it's a bad thing. But if a police officer is going to, like, remove someone or like have them go someplace else, mm-hmm. they have to have another location for them to go before they can tell them to leave, mm-hmm. and it has to be covered.
That's good.
So, you know, a lot of people are like, well, that's just, you know, extra work and extra problems.
Yeah.
Which is true. Like, of course, it's like, you know, it's extra work for the officers, and it shouldn't be in their job description because we shouldn't have so many homeless people, so we shouldn't have to be relocating them to other covered locations.
Yeah.
But because we do have so many, it's a part of, you know, it's a part of our society now.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, well, it wasn't a part of our society back in the day when there weren't so many homeless people, so now, and we didn't do it back then. You gotta adapt.
But then if you take that stance and just say, fuck it, like, they're whatever, there's still gonna be, like, an issue. They're still gonna be there.
Yeah.
Like, they're not gonna go away because you refuse to acknowledge them.
Exactly. Now,
you could help them. That'd be chill. Like, that'd be a good thing to do.
Yeah. And I do believe that having a different stance on, like, you know, the policies of, like, how strictly homeless people can be enforced would be a good thing, because at the time there's not really any restrictions on them, so they can basically do what they want, which I don't think is a good thing. I think there should be some, you know, just like everyone else in society, there needs to be some structure, mm-hmm. to what's going on, but there should be more focus on helping them.
Yeah.
Because that's what they did, is they decided to stop policing them, and by stop policing them, they're not even helping them.
Yeah, that's...
They just stepped out entirely. Like, instead of, you know, because they feel like it's one or the other. Either we get to, like, police them and send them to jail, mm-hmm. or we're not a part at all.
Hmm.
And we're just completely detached. They can't find that middle ground where it's like, well, obviously they still need some law enforcement, but they also need help too.
Yeah, because they're a part of our jungle.
Exactly.
They're a part of our society.
And it's like, and everyone's like, oh, homelessness is a problem and we don't really like how there's a tent on every street corner, which is not a
then
bad
fucking
thing.
Fix it.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing to be like, hey, I don't want I don't want homeless people constantly.
But
so maybe
use
open
that.
Up one of your houses that you own
there
someplace
you
else.
Yep.
Or
use that negative energy to create a positive effect. Or something.
Something.
Do something. Don't just sit there and complain.
Don't just be like, I don't like having a tent right outside my window. Because you can go to any of your three other houses that don't have a tent outside your window, and it's not a problem anymore. So how about you open up one of those spots for other people to live in?
Exactly. Dude, that's a title. I think we talked about this one time at we were in Spokane, and we had a conversation about this. It was a couple years ago. But when we were talking about, making a shed city,
buying
a piece of property and building a bunch of sheds on it and storage containers.
Just making a shed city, exactly.
Yeah.
It's that, I mean, a lot of people, obviously I know lots of people are like, well, we don't want to create that, low-income housing, basically what it is, very low.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're
it doesn't have to be in the middle of the fucking city.
Yeah, they're like, because we don't want to bring in all that, mm-hmm. whatever it is, crime, everything like that. And obviously that's going to happen, but at the same time, it's like, crime's going to go with any person, any group. And, these people committing crimes are statistically less likely to commit a crime if they don't need as much stuff.
Yeah. And if they're being actively helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, because right now, the problem with Seattle is because of that, that kind of, hands-off policy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they need help, and they're not going to get in trouble for shoplifting. They're not going to get in trouble for doing drugs on the street, so they're going to do it.
Yeah, they allow them to, shoot up heroin in places.
Yeah. Right?
Do they have, safe zones? And
yeah, they can do that wherever they want.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, if we're going to decide that a certain population, just because they're quote-unquote below us,
mm-hmm.
doesn't, has a different set of rules, that's not helping them. Allowing them to shoplift is not helping them.
No.
Giving them a job in the shop that they would be shoplifting in, that is.
Yeah.
Or promoting, just promoting rehab centers,
mm-hmm.
promoting ways that you can cause them to not be a quote-unquote issue to society versus just ignoring it, sweeping it under the rug, or, because they criminalize it, but they don't actually. It's you take someone to jail for that, they're not going to go to jail, which is frustrating for law enforcement, for when there is an actual crime,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, okay, this guy is lacing drugs and it's causing, it's killing people, but he's not going to serve time because he only had yay amount of drugs on him. And
mm-hmm.
and then and that's not helpful.
No,
that doesn't help anyone. Leaving those people on the street isn't helpful.
No,
because that's just negative to the people who can't help themselves, who are hooked on the drug,
mm-hmm.
who are just there, they can't help themselves. They have no way to get out of it. And then the person who's supplying them and the person who's ultimately killing them
mm-hmm.
is also allowed to just hang out and do what they want.
Take out the negative influences and help the good people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's
Although then that's difficult to try and differentiate because there's actually a guy the place I work, there's a guy that was working there for a little bit. He got fired yesterday. He was he's a homeless dude. I knew him from before. I gave him a ride home, actually. He had this tent up over on the Chumstick. And he is a very charismatic guy. And he's very... People are willing to trust him because he just seems very nice.
Yeah.
But he ropes you in, takes your shit,
Yeah.
I think he took some money out of the till. He would, take people's phones and stuff, and it was a mess. So it's hard to differentiate between the people that are the bad people and the people that are the good people, because it's not always polar one way or the other. So that's, if they do that, where they deal with the negative people and send them to jail, and the people that are lacing pills and doing that shit and helping the good people, how would they be able to differentiate for sure?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's not going to be this cut and dry in every case, but, since we've been talking mostly about Seattle, in the case of Seattle, somebody who's been living in a mm-hmm. Coleman tent underneath an overpass
mm-hmm.
is probably not the one dealing drugs because they probably don't have the ability to deal the drugs.
Yeah.
It's probably the guy who's wearing a pair of Adidas shoes, driving a car in Seattle because God knows that's expensive.
Yeah.
And is like, you know, wearing some nice, you know, nicer clothes.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though they're getting caught with whatever, I don't even remember what it is, but like they, at this point, it doesn't even matter what the drug is. If it's under a certain amount, if it's under, you know, I don't even remember how many grams or whatever. It's, they can't prosecute them.
Oh.
They can't take them in.
Wow.
And if for a dealer, you know, some of the drugs, that's, I believe it's like I think heroin, whatever the amount is, it's equal to over 100 doses, I believe.
Wow.
So it's like,
so they can have...
They can have...
A lot
to make, you know, make money.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know... And that's basically what they're doing, is they're making money off of the homeless people that don't, you know, they don't have options.
Yeah. Give them all weed. Just hand out free weed.
I mean, there's enough of it. Why not?
Yeah. Oregon's got too much.
But that's exactly the problem. Like, yeah, I mean, that's not going to solve every problem. That's not always the case. But chances are the guy who's got holes in his knees is probably not the drug dealer.
Yeah. That's true. That's not every case, though, that got fired, actually, was a drug dealer. And he was not doing too well.
Yeah.
It's probably just poor self-management, though.
Exactly. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. All right. That's a interesting topic.
It's definitely, I don't know if you've seen that documentary, Seattle is Dying.
No, I haven't.
It was a good piece. I suggest watching it for anyone.
Wasn't there a lot of, I haven't seen it, but I heard there was controversy over it where people were like, hey, that's not the case or whatever.
Yeah, there was controversy. Some people were like, that's, you know, that's not what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I see both sides.
Yeah.
I obviously have not a lot of experience with Seattle, but I know, you know, former Seattle police officers.
Yeah.
And they definitely have the stance of what, you know, what the police officers have in that documentary, which is just kind of like, I can't do anything. I can't help.
Yeah, you like, can't do everything.
I'm here to, like, quote unquote, protect the rich people from the poor people, which shouldn't be how it is. You're not there to, like, separate society. You're there to help and, you know, and protect everyone.
Serve and protect, yeah.
Yeah. You're not there to be like, oh, sorry, sir, you can't have your tent and shoot heroin outside of this person's shop. You're here to be like, hey, buddy, like, let's go find you some other place, you know, let's find you some place where you can be productive or helpful.
Yeah. A rich dude on Capitol Hill beating his wife, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it is. It's like, and that, you know, and it's just gotten to the point where they can't do their job because of fear of being prosecuted themselves or, you know, because like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Like, we're going to take you in for it. Where so many other places, their police officers are allowed to do their job.
Wasn't there a film made in opposition to Seattle is Dying? Like somebody made a film that was kind of the opposite, just saying, hey, you're wrong.
I'm not sure. Something. I mean, that would surprise me. Because I heard there was
something. I don't
like
remember.
More of like a It's Thriving. Like
Seattle is Dying, Seattle is Thriving. Yeah.
It's definitely, you know, it's a perspective. It's where, you know, it's what part of town you live in.
Yeah.
And I don't think that necessarily just being like, oh, everything about Seattle is just like falling apart. And we just need, and you know, Seattle's just done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's necessarily a good stance. But then also being like, well, there isn't a problem is also not a good stance. Because obviously there are homeless people in Seattle. No, anyone can see that. And that is an issue. A homeless person anywhere is an issue. Not because they themselves is an issue, but the fact that they're homeless is an issue.
Yeah.
And that, you know, whether they're shoplifting or doing drugs, it's still, you know, they still shouldn't be there because no one should have to live on the street.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a really good point.
It doesn't matter.
They shouldn't be there, not because you don't want them there, but because nobody should have to fucking live in a tent under an overpass.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know, you know, I know some people like would choose to be homeless even if, you know, even when you give them opportunities to be out of it. But that's like, that's a very rare case.
Ski bum lifestyle, yeah.
Yeah, it happens. Mm-hmm. There are people like that, and there are, you know.
Yeah.
But honestly, most people that you think are like that, you think are choosing homelessness. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're choosing homelessness. They just know that the drugs they're hooked on, the, you know, because of that, they can't live in normal society because we criminalize it in normal society, but we don't in homeless society. We're like, mm-hmm. Oh, if you're homeless, it's fine. If you're freezing to death on the street and you don't have enough to eat, it's fine if you do heroin. But if you do heroin in your big mansion, that's not okay.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make sense to me.
No, if you're in a mansion, you can only do Xanax. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. There's rules. There's rules to the drugs you can do. And no, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit. No. It doesn't fit well in society. It's like, rehab shouldn't be available just for the snotty rich kid who...
Yeah.
You know, who partied in college and is... Now his parents are like, well, now you need to start making money.
Yeah.
Like,
rehab should be free.
There should be more rehab centers. There should be bigger penalties for the guys who are dealing. Yeah. You know, if it's proven you're dealing drugs that are, you know, ending people's lives, that you should be prosecuted.
They do in some places. Mount Vernon, there's a guy who had 2 homicide accounts because he was putting fentanyl and stuff. And,
yeah, that's what
I told you about that, yeah.
Yeah, those are the times when it's like you gotta criminalize those people, get them off the street, you gotta like help people, and you gotta stop criminalizing them for like smoking a joint.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're smoking a joint, what, you know, that's
cool.
That's the same thing
good
as
for you.
It's the same thing as going into a liquor store,
yeah,
buying like a couple bottles of rum, going home and beating your wife because you got drunk. It's not even as bad.
No,
it's not even
close to as bad. Definitely not as bad. I was gonna say, you're comparing, okay.
But you get what I'm saying though. Yeah. Well, I mean, not necessarily legal, like, you know.
Yeah.
Your wife isn't legal.
Beating your wife is definitely not legal, yeah.
But it's totally fine to, like, live a lifestyle where you just get drunk all the time and you just, you know, liquor's completely legal, whereas smoking a joint, not.
Yeah. Somehow. I can't think of a single story where I've heard of someone smoking a joint and then wanting to beat their wife.
Yeah.
I think it's usually, like, want to smoke a joint and, you know, make passionate love, maybe watch some Netflix. You know, eat some Doritos.
But, you know, yeah. It's like the things we're criminalizing are just bizarre.
It's whack. It's dumb. It's like, yeah.
Because we decide, you know, we decide like, oh, this is something that we're going to hate on. This is something we're going to attack. And we like look away from the bigger issue.
Yeah. Well, because they, was it the Nixon administration? You know, they didn't like Mexicans. And marijuana was a Mexican name. And they noticed that a lot of marijuana could come over from Mexico. So if they make it illegal and they say it's really bad and it's a Schedule 1 drug, then everyone's going to be like, oh, marijuana's bad. What? Mexicans have marijuana? Oh, Mexicans are bad too. And then, you know, it's war on race.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about painting a picture of like what can we tell people to get them on board with our agenda?
Yep.
Like, and if you get the majority of people along with your agenda, boom, suddenly, you know, you win. And that's why I believe self-education and education in general is important mm-hmm. in the U.S. And not,
definitely,
not
yeah.
public education, because public education is also an agenda that they can push however they want.
Brainwash your ass.
It's like, you know, actual education, you know, everyone should be out there educating themselves, yeah. not just like watching cosmopolitan stories on Snapchat. Like, that's not exactly. education. That's not helping you.
No.
You know, how big Kim Kardashian's butt is not helping anyone.
While it's nice, it should...
it's not helpful. I mean, what you do in your free time, like, I'm all for, like, a Netflix subscription.
Mm-hmm.
But spend some time reading the book.
Yeah.
Look into something.
Or with that Netflix subscription, watch some documentaries.
Exactly.
Yeah. Educate yourself.
And then also remember that, oh, just because somebody made a documentary doesn't mean they're 100% right or their opinion is what you should go with. But you should at least listen to it. It's, you know, look at it from an objective standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, make those decisions for yourself instead of the school system telling you that, oh, everyone of this skin color is racist, or everyone who says this also believes this.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, that just leads to division and, you know, yeah.
Well, and also if you pursue self-education, like, you're, it teaches you to critically think, and then you have independent thought. In the public school system, you don't get to think independently. They tell you what to think. They tell you what to do. You don't do anything. I actually had this conversation with somebody else, like, last week. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Dawson. But, no, we were talking about education and how education doesn't necessarily... Oh, it was with Faith, actually. Yeah, because we were talking about universities and how so many people are very... Like, you have to go to high school, you have to learn everything through public high school, and then you have to go to a four-year and learn everything through this specific four-year, and then think the way they want you to think. When, like, her sister went to Jordan?
Yeah.
She go to Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she went there, and instead of going directly to a four-year, right? But now she's at Western, but anyways, yeah, and we were talking about that, and she learned a lot when she was over there. Like, a lot about the culture of those people, a lot about kind of probably broadened her mindset, a more global view of things, and probably learned a lot of shit that she's going to carry with her the rest of her life. And that, honestly, that education is probably more valuable than a few semesters at a four-year university that you're paying $20,000, $40,000 for.
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous. And it's also like, I don't know, I beat this example into the ground.
Yeah.
But my English 101 class, you know, first year of college, English 101.
I did not like that class.
I hate that class because I honestly, outside of high school,
mm-hmm.
have not learned a stitch about English. And I've taken two English classes in college.
Yeah.
Like, two English classes that have accomplished nothing. You know,
just... You know, going over the same shit.
The grammar that they talked about, it's like, well, cool. Learned that in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, putting together a sentence, writing well, learned all that in high school. And then everything else was just a political agenda that they were pushing that the teacher wanted to get across. Like, the teacher wanted you to think like this. Like, you know, they straight up tell you.
That, at
like,
the community college?
At the community college. They're like, hey, like, I use the, you know, at first I didn't think this. But they would be like, oh, yeah, this is like one of my favorite articles. I use this as an example, like, every year.
Oh, were they like,
and the more and more
make
I
you use
it,
one
like,
specific news
the
source?
The reason why they're always using articles and they're always doing that is because it's an article that they agree with. It's their agenda. It's what they like.
Yeah.
And they're like,
so okay. It's not the entire school doing yeah. that. It's just like each individual teacher has their preference.
Yeah. It's the teacher being like, oh, I'm going to make the entire class write an opinion paper on this paper that I've already
And if they disagree with me, they fail.
Yeah. If they disagree with me, I give them a hard time. Or like, because I no offense to the other students that were in that class, but I heard students come up with the dumbest, just like least put together ideas on a paper. Yeah. Like they would say stuff like, you know what? I think it was really cool that he brought up that we should probably be nicer to people. They would literally say, not put together dumb shit like that. And then you have some other person who doesn't agree with the paper, doesn't agree with what the person was saying, which doesn't, I'm not saying that they're the right ones or they're the ones that are right in the scenario.
But they form a solid argument.
They put together a solid argument. They form a solid thought. They like put work into it. They read the paper. They like did what the teacher wanted them to do.
But ultimately the teacher thinks they're wrong.
And the teacher, badmouths and basically bashes on them and nitpicks everything they say. And then somebody else is like, they clearly didn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
They were, watching Netflix the entire time they were supposed to be studying. And then they're like, okay, I'm going to spew out this random stuff. I'm going to go along with what everyone else was saying. And the teacher's like, oh, that's so, like, thought-provoking. And then the next person down the line says the exact same thing the person before them said. Teacher does the same thing. Oh, man, it's, like, so thought-provoking.
Very interesting, wow.
And it's like, no.
Your aura just reeks of intelligence.
Yeah. And, that's not to say that there aren't some kids that did do the work and do agree with the teacher. It does go that way, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just that mindset of just, tearing down somebody who put together a legitimate thought, has legitimate, concerns or whatever it is, and telling them that they're wrong because that wasn't, your agenda wasn't what they got out of the process.
Well, also, it's teaching students that all they have to do to do well in life is just be apathetic and not have an opinion and just agree with whatever's around them and just go with it, go with the flow or whatever. And like, and that you don't get anything constructive from that. And it teaches them that, and they will go on the rest of their life agreeing with whatever the fuck the person above them says, just because they know they won't cause any issues.
Exactly. And it's like, Like, that's a big issue with thing, you know, a majority of things, like gun control, for example. Most people are like, oh, I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
Like, I can have whatever firearm I want. And then there's other people who are like, you know what, I think we should have guns, but I think maybe having a rocket launcher wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah.
And then there's the people on the are on that far side of like, we should have
guns are bad.
Well, no, but the people who are like, we should have every gun we want.
Oh, yeah.
Are then bad mouthing and hating on the people who are like, hey, maybe a rocket launcher isn't a good idea. And it's not like they're like, oh, well, I think we should be able to, and this is why.
Mm-hmm.
They're just straight up belittling them because they don't think the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're not accomplishing anything. You're not gaining anything. You're not helping anything. All you're doing is just being like, oh, you don't believe what I believe? Or you believe what I believe, but not quite, or not as far. So I'm just going to belittle you as a person and devalue your opinion because my opinion is somehow superior.
Yeah.
It's like, or you could shut up and listen for a second, and you could be like, hey, like, you, even if...
Have
even
a
if
valid we, discussion.
Yeah, have a valid discussion. Even if you're ending the discussion with, hey, I don't really agree with your opinion, and I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah.
It's still better than being like, oh, all the people who don't agree with me are autistic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now, like, you've accomplished nothing.
You've
offended autistic people. You've made yourself look like a dumbass.
Yeah.
And you've created more enemies that could have been your allies.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
And that's, you know, that's, honestly, that's one of the big reasons why I hate social media. Literally, you know, big issue comes out.
Because it fuels fighting.
Exactly. A big issue comes out, and you get all these celebrities on one side talking about how it's a good thing, and all these celebrities on the other side talking about how it's a bad thing.
And it splits everybody down the middle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, because you have to be on one side or the other. You have to retweet one celebrity's post or the other ones. You can't find that middle ground where it's like, hey, maybe we should focus, you know, it's, you know, same thing with drugs. Like, maybe we should focus on helping the people and causing better solutions instead of banning it. Instead of causing a problem. You know, instead of being like, oh, you cannot do this.
And honestly, you ban it, you just cause more issues.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I've always told people. Like, you know, anyone I know who's like, hey, gay marriage shouldn't be a thing. I'm like, by banning it, you're not going to somehow change the person's opinion.
Not going to stop being gay just because they can't get married.
It's like, oh, crap. It's against the law. Like, obviously, like, back when it was like, you know, in some places it still is. Like, when it's punishable by death.
Oh,
people
yeah,
they're still doing it.
Dude, there was a country just recently in the Middle East somewhere. Oh, shit. It was a small country. I can't remember the name of it. They actually just reestablished a law where gay, homosexuality, gay, just gay, period, just gay, homosexuality is punishable by stoning to death. Like,
yeah.
Throwing rocks at them. Like,
yeah.
Throwback 3,000 years.
And the thing is like, that's still not stopping people.
No.
Because the, you know...
Well, it's not like they have a fucking choice.
Yeah,
it's
not they're like not like, oh, well,
guess
crap.
I won't be gay.
If you're going to throw rocks at me, I guess I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
It's the same, you know, same thing with meth. Cocaine. Like,
that's a
people,
bridge, okay.
I know.
Yeah, you're comparing homosexuality to meth.
But making it illegal isn't going to stop people from doing it.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like... It's not going to, like, now, being like, hey, it's legal, it's okay, like, it's legal, but we're going to help, I'm not talking about gay marriage at this point.
Okay, so you're not saying you should try and convert homosexuality, okay.
We're off of gay marriage.
Just clarifying.
We're back to drugs.
You're not trying to rehabilitate gay people.
Yeah,
you're,
no,
okay.
I'm talking about rehabilitating.
If you want to be homosexual, be homo, that's chill, that's awesome.
Rock
go
on.
Go gay rights, awesome.
Rock on.
Meth, bad.
Meth.
Let's go to that.
We're on the meth.
All right.
Sorry. But, sorry, like, I just, like, in my mind, the bridge makes sense.
Make that bridge a little more clear.
That could have, yeah. In my mind. But no, you know, somebody's addicted to meth, instead of being like, that's against the law, you're going to jail now.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, hey, we don't really think it's cool that you do meth.
It's bad for you, it's bad for society.
It's bad for you, it's bad for society. The guy who's giving you the meth is probably going to stick some shit in there that's going to kill you.
Yeah, so we'll kill him.
So instead of being like, hey, you're going to jail now because you weren't supposed to have that meth, we're like, hey, we have this cool rehab center that you can hang out in.
Dude, all the fucking taxpayer dollars that go into funding jails, take some of that and use it to fund free rehab. Do they do that? I could be, like, totally just fucking...
No, they don't.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it's like, exactly. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Otherwise, they just sit in jail with a bunch of people just as bad or maybe even way worse than them, and they come out more fucked up than they went in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or maybe that person who bought their third car this year,
mm-hmm.
who just was like, oh, I wanted the Mustang. Maybe they could be like, hey, I'll help you out.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And that's what, you know, we need to promote a society that's like, I don't care if I can't afford a Netflix subscription because I'm sending that $10 towards rehab or something like that. Like, now, if you work hard, you work your butt off, and you can afford to help people and have nice things, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But I feel like we should prioritize helping people before having nice things. And I also feel like we should prioritize...
It's a very communist view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I believe that should be like your choice to help somebody.
Yeah.
Like it shouldn't be like the government's like, you're doing well, you're helping people.
Yeah.
We should promote a society just that's like, I'm doing well, I'm going to help people.
Well, I think it's very, in a lot of rap culture, they're very like, oh, I have money, I'm going to spend it on what the fuck I want to spend it on. I'm going to get all these diamonds and shit instead of being like, walking down the street being like, oh, hey man, you know, I could buy this $100,000 necklace, or I could give you $50,000 and help you get your ass up off the ground.
Exactly. It's like, it's promoting that idea of like, and then everyone's like, oh, the government's going to take my money to give to people. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I'm not cool with that.
Yeah.
But as soon as you promote a society where they want to and they feel like it's their choice and everything like that, it's surprising how generous people are.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't feel like the government's taking out of their paycheck, they're more, you know, they're just more likely to be like, hey, here's, you know, here's some money.
Maybe not immediately, but over time.
Probably. Yeah, over time. And sure. But it's just promoting that idea of being like, hey.
Just being a good fucking person.
Exactly. It's like, maybe you don't need to fly to Hawaii for the fourth time this year. Maybe you can help somebody else.
I agree with that.
Because, yeah, I have no issue with working hard and, like, getting, you know.
Oh, because it feels good.
You know, you're working hard. You're getting stuff with your own money. You know, you're doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no problem with that. But when you have, you know, half of one of those Safeway subs in your car because of the time you thought you were going to be able to eat all of it, but now you realize you're not, and you're just going to throw it out, hand it to the guy who's on the street corner.
Or if you have 10 pairs of shoes, you only wear 3, give away those 7.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, and then you got, I don't know, in the church, there were so many people who were like, you know, I, like, keep blankets or food in my car because when I see a homeless person, I want to give them that instead of money because they're probably going to go buy drugs with it.
What do you think I was going to do with the money?
and that's what I would always respond to them with, is they'd be like, I feel like they're going to buy drugs with it or something like that. And I'm like, and your Starbucks latte is going to be more, you know.
Your fifth glass of wine this week is going to be, or your fifth bottle of wine this week is going to be better, yeah.
Yeah, it's more justified.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow them having the 20, you know, if they spend it on drugs... You know, that's too bad. Like, you're giving them an opportunity to, like, maybe get a foothold.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. But they're going to spend on drugs. Like, that's too bad. But who are you to decide, like, oh, I'm going to be nice to this person, but I'm going to control what, you know, what they do. They're still a human. You decide to be nice to a person or you're not.
Yeah.
You don't pick, I'm going to be nice, but only if they do this with it.
Only if they agree with everything I say.
Yeah. Exactly.
No. And even if you don't want them to buy drugs with the money, then go take a couple hours, an hour, half an hour even, out of your day, and go over, be like, hey, how are you doing? What's your story? What's your name? Who are you as a person? And then be like, can I get you anything from the store? Can I buy you lunch?
Yeah.
You want to get coffee with me?
Do you need a haircut?
Can I get you a haircut? Yeah. Let's go get you a job interview. You want this suit? Like.
Yeah, that's exactly how I need, you know, how it should be.
Yeah. No, I need to do that. I've been wanting to do that for a while. Just take a day and go. Because there's always this, like, one guy over by the Safeway in Wenatchee. And, oh, that'd just be... I feel like that'd be a really good use of a day to try and, you know, see if he wants to get, like, cleaned up and give him a shower or something. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, I thought about this the other day. Like, I've gone to town.
Yeah.
Gone shopping. Spent... $200+ on different stuff.
What's an extra $10 for the guy's lunch outside?
Well, not even that, but just deciding like, hey, like, I mean, not everyone's in this position, but it's like being like, hey, instead of going and buying a bunch of extra, like, stuff that I will use a few times or mm-hmm. maybe might not even use that much or whatever, being like, hey man, got a couple hundred bucks here, like haircut, new suit, let's get you looking nice, let's, you know,
yeah,
like what you said. And it doesn't take a lot of money.
No, it doesn't.
Like, haircut costs like $12. You can go get some like nice, like you can get a nice shirt, nice pair of slacks and a belt,
yeah,
and a nice pair of shoes for under $100. You yeah. can do all that for under $100, and they look professional, and they can go and get a job interview. Now, yeah. obviously, it's up to them to actually carry it on from that point, but you're yeah. giving them that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't take that opportunity, it's the same thing. Like, who are you to say that your latte is somehow better than giving them that opportunity?
Yeah. Or even if it's smaller than that, because for a lot of people, that seems like a lot, because we live in a very antisocial society. We're like, phone, don't talk to me. But no, like, even smaller than that, you don't have to buy them a suit, and you don't have to buy people suits and like haircuts and shit. You don't have to do that. That'd be dope if you did. But like, for a lot of people, that's too much. And I've actually started doing a thing recently where, you know, I go into Safeway in Wenatchee or something, or I go into like Fred Meyer or a store to get lunch and to get stuff for me. And I buy what I'm buying and then just buy the same amount of shit but for somebody else, and I walk out, and I hand him a bag of groceries with, like, via coffee, a sandwich, some fucking socks or whatever, like, just yeah. a variety of stuff that could potentially be useful. Shit that I would want if I was out in the baking hot sun begging for change.
Exactly. I was in Walmart. It was in Wenatchee, and I'm just, like, hanging out, and I walk by, and there's that $5 pizza. But it was towards the end of the day, and it was, like, buy one, get one free. I was like, well, I'm hungry.
$5. I get a pizza.
I bought two pizzas. So I'm walking out. I'm carrying two pizzas. Now I'm realizing I can't even eat one pizza. What am I doing with two?
Yeah.
Like, I'm now thinking, like, maybe the buy one, get one free wasn't a good idea. And yeah. I'm sitting there and look over, and there's two guys, you know, sitting on the bench. I don't know if they're homeless, but they're clearly not doing so well, but, you know.
Yeah.
Because they're sitting there, like, they got, like, a sign and everything. And so I'm like,
want a pizza?
You want a pizza?
Yeah.
And the guy immediately starts to, like, explain, like, why, like, why he does need the pizza after I've already handed it to him.
It's like, hey man, it's chill. You don't have to convince me.
That's exactly yeah. what I said. I was like, I already handed you the pizza.
Yeah, you're good.
And it's like that mindset of being like, they have to like prove that they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Prove to people like yeah. you somehow have to be good enough to deserve people's empathy.
Yeah, that's dumb.
And it's like, no, like, this, you know, I want to help you. I'm going to help you. And it doesn't matter what position. Like, I don't care if you're not even homeless.
Yeah.
Like, you could live in a mobile home down the street, but you just didn't get your paycheck this month because you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And you can go to work. Here's your pizza. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care, you know, it's the same thing with like, oh, I don't care if you actually make, you know, over $100,000 a year and you just ran out of gas and now you're stuck on the side of the road. I'll still go fill up a 5-gallon tank yeah. of gas and bring it back to you. It doesn't matter that you're not homeless and you're driving a Maserati.
Yep.
If you need some gas and I can help you, I'm going to.
Yeah, help. Give back, yeah.
Exactly. And it's not, you know,
goes around, comes around. Karma, bitch. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's just that idea of being like, oh, you don't need to justify help. If yeah. you need help, you need help. It doesn't matter
why
you
need it. Be nice for no reason.
Or where you're at. Exactly.
Yeah.
And even if the person doesn't need help, like, screw it. Somebody's getting groceries. They might be able to afford them just fine. But being like, hey,
I can get that for you.
Here's $20 for the person behind me kind of thing.
Yeah. Pay it forward.
Exactly. And just, you know, because then they're thinking like, oh, I have an extra $20. Maybe they'll go spend that on something they don't need. Maybe they'll just like throw it out the window or whatever. Or maybe they'll be like, here's $20 for the next person. And it'll go down the line until there's somebody who forgot their wallet.
Yeah. And yeah, good deeds are just like something that keeps on giving a lot of the time. That's like, you do something nice, they're going to be like, oh shit, I'm feeling good. Can I go do something nice? Other person. Sure, just exactly what you said, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I mean, this isn't exact, you know, kind of a tie back into what we were originally talking about, but with the Free the Llama thing.
Oh, yeah.
So we're, you know, we've started this business, obviously giving people stuff and, like, you know, getting your product out
there. Oh, we've made no
profit. Big part, yeah, it's a yeah. big part of starting the business, but at the same time, it's like, how many hats have we given out?
We've lost money. We haven't made anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're giving out a hat.
It's fun.
And it might seem like, oh, well, you're just doing that to promote your business or whatever. But at the same time, to that kid that's like, hey, I wanted a hat. They're not thinking like, oh, Like, oh,
I'm a walking advertisement.
Yeah, like, I just got this because they're trying to get their business started. They're thinking, I got a free hat and I'm going to wear this thing. It's going to be dope.
Yeah. They're like, this is my freaking ski coach. You're a ski coach, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're like, this is my ski coach's hat. This is dope. I feel like an awesome person.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to wear this around. And I mean, I know
that's good vibes.
I know it's more expensive. Yeah. But I was just thinking about this the other day. Like, what we really got to do is just order up some more of those beanies so mm-hmm. we have more on sack. And then, you know, just like,
buy them wholesale and go give them to people in Wenatchee.
Go give them to people.
Hell yeah, I mean, dude.
It's like, obviously now it's getting a little hotter, so maybe we should like
maybe get some like five panels or something.
Find something.
Tank tops. We got tank tops. We got shorts.
Just being like, hey.
We got tank tops. We got shorts. We got beanies. We got dad hats.
Check us out.
Flip flops dropping this weekend. All right, yeah.
Exactly. But just being like, hey, you know. This is what's up.
That's a really good idea. Dang, yeah. We can get them wholesale if we want to.
Yeah. I don't, let's you know, do it. You know, it's more expensive or whatever, but it's like, hey, why not?
Yeah. I mean, you're just going to buy another gun anyways.
Exactly. I was talking to somebody because I was talking about like going there because this sounds like I'm just self-promoting. So I was out in Seattle like a few months ago and we were just, me and a friend, we're passing out stuff.
It's fine, man. Self-promote. You're a good person. You deserve it.
We're just like, you know, we're passing out stuff. Because I just texted him. I was like, hey, man, you want to go give out socks in Seattle? And he was like, Jill, let's go. And so we went the next day.
Who's that?
Ben Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
So we're like, we're hanging out. We're doing a thing. I mean, to be fair, like, we spent half the day giving out stuff to homeless people. And then I spent the other half the day buying really expensive shit at REI. So it's like, in comparison, it's like we were... Yeah, and I felt bad about this, actually. Because I was thinking, like, oh, $20 for, like, four pairs of socks? Like... And it wasn't because I was like, I don't know if I want to pay that. It was more like, I wish I could get more socks for $20.
Yeah.
And I went and bought a pullover sweatshirt for like $80. And I was like, okay. It's like,
oh, wait, what am I complaining about?
Yeah. What's going on? But so that was kind of like a humbling experience. But like, back to what I was saying. But I was like, you know, we're passing out stuff. And there's some people who were like, hey, you know, like that person pushing a shopping cart doesn't need your pair of gloves because obviously they're hoarding stuff and they just have a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here like, it's
what am I doing?
It's like
my shopping cart is my house, so
it's like it's December in Seattle. Yeah, they have like a broom and an old vacuum in their shopping cart that doesn't work.
A lot of random ass cans in there.
That's not gonna keep them warm.
Yeah.
Here's a pair of gloves. That's gonna keep them warm. Even if they lose them or they get dirty or you know, even if it only lasts a few nights, that's a few nights where their hands aren't like shaking. And it's that idea of just being like, oh, they already have a bunch of stuff. I shouldn't give them more.
You have more shit than they have in your house, so shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, just because they're pushing it in a shopping cart doesn't mean they don't need stuff. And yeah, it's sure, they do have that, like, you know, that idea of like, oh, if there's something free, I need it. I'm going to take it, even if I can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes from a position where they're like, they don't have a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're like,
so it means a lot more to them, too.
Yeah, it's like they hang on to that stuff. Like, that stuff is important to them. And it's not just, like, homeless people here. It's like you go to a third world country, and there's somebody who has a house.
Mm-hmm.
They have stuff. But you see, like, they have that culture of, like, you find something nice.
You keep it nice. You
hang on to that. You keep it nice.
It's like that's what you have. That's yours.
You take care of that. Whereas here, you know, we're like, you go buy a new car.
Fucking driver. Phone.
Yeah. You have your phone, you like drop it, it cracks the screen. You're like,
oh shit, get a new one.
I'll buy a new one. It only costs like $50 to just send in and get a new one. That one go in the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's somebody out there who's like on their like fourth refurbishing of a iPhone 4 with like all kinds of cracked screens because that's all I can get.
Yeah.
And then you're out here like, oh, I can't wait till the new iPhone drops so I can get rid of this old iPhone 10.
Yeah. God, this piece of shit iPhone 10. God damn it.
It's the just battery so slow. Only lasts like 5 hours. It's God, pissing me off.
I can't watch all the YouTube I need to watch. God damn it, Mom. Buy me a new phone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just that mentality of like, what is your problem?
Yeah.
Like, take a second. Step back.
Think about what you actually have rather than what you don't have.
Yeah. Think about...
And then think about what they don't have. And give what you have.
Exactly. Just share the wealth.
Yeah.
Spread stuff around. Do what you can. Obviously, not everyone can do
everything.
Everyone
will be happier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, nope. We live in a society where it's like, I come first. Laws come second.
Yeah.
And then people who actually need help come third.
Yep.
It's like, laws aren't going to help people.
People who need help should come first. Laws should go away.
Yeah. Like, I get that you have to have some laws to like make society work and everything like that, but criminalizing people versus helping them doesn't do anything.
Yep.
You've accomplished nothing.
Yeah.
Like, prostitution. It's like you get fined, you get in trouble, you get, whatever the case, however drastic it is wherever you're at, where it's like this is allowed or not allowed or whatever, depending on the state or, what their laws allow. Versus, hey, obviously you need to do something to make some money and this is your last resort, so maybe we can offer something else for you. Yeah. And it's not even
Then also there is kind of an issue there with human trafficking.
That is an issue, but that's like, that's definitely against, that's way against the law. And that,
where people are being forced into prostitution and
that's different. On drugs. And the people who are doing the forcing and stuff like that, they need to be definitely penalized.
Yeah.
Like, just like that needs to be like, cut that snake's head off kind of thing.
Literally.
And it's like, that's a big issue that most people don't talk about.
Yeah.
When you hear like people complaining about the border, they're like, oh my gosh, all these illegal aliens coming in. It's like, shut up.
Some people don't actually want to come over.
Yeah, some people don't want to come over. A majority of people who do come over are actually people who are coming over and overstaying their work visa. So a wall and stricter border patrol isn't going to help anything. The issues that we have are the people, who are smuggling in, human traffickers, people who are bringing in massive amounts of drugs. And,
And you're not going to stop them with a fucking wall.
And you're here like, oh my gosh, this person stayed in the U.S. when they weren't supposed to. It's like, yeah, sure, they're supposed to follow the rules. Sure, it's not super helpful to society when somebody comes and stays when they're not supposed to, and like, whatever, everyone has their reasonings for why they like it or don't like it.
Yeah.
Sure. But we're completely ignoring the fact that there's some, 11-year-old girl who got kidnapped, dragged into the U.S., and is now, having God knows what done to her.
Yeah.
And we're like...
But all they see is, oh my God, illegal immigrant, get her the fuck out.
Get those people out of here.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Bullshit.
No, we need to help people that, that need help. And we need to stop promoting a society where it's like, oh, I can hop on the internet, watch a porn video of whatever messed up thing I want.
Yeah.
And that's how life works now. So I guess that's how it works where I can go go up to a woman and be like, oh, I saw this in a video once. Like, we need to stop promoting that culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know there's everyone has their different opinion of like, oh, well, there's certain levels. Some of it's okay or whatever. Like, that's up to an opinion like that. But it does promote a larger industry that promotes rape, human trafficking, and abuse.
There's a lot of rape videos. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's messed up.
Like, even cosplay where people are like, oh, let's pretend you're getting raped.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, that's not, I don't care if if somebody's like, oh, that's kind of like a fantasy of mine and I have like a safe word with my partner or whatever.
Then stop.
Yeah, knock it off. Because then, there's some 11-year-old kid who starts watching porn.
Yeah.
And then watches it. And that's like...
11, shit. All right.
You see what I'm saying, though, where they're like, they start watching it. They don't get somebody telling them like how it works, what an actual relationship is.
Yeah, they don't have the
like.
Context. They just see the...
They just see that. And so as soon as it's like, oh... Now I'm finally like in a position where I can have sex or whatever, like girls are starting to notice me or whatever. They get to that place where it's like, oh, I'm gonna like force myself on you. I'm gonna make you do this. Like, because I saw that in the video.
Not okay, yeah.
And it's like, no. Or that, that whole idea of like, I don't know. I don't consider myself a feminist, but the whole idea of like when people are like, oh, my outfit isn't an excuse to like, do whatever you want or like
yeah.
Or, I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah.
I'm like, somebody using the excuse that, oh, she was wearing a crop top and short shorts. She was asking for it.
Yeah, that's bullshit. I mean, obviously, okay, so you wear stuff like that, you want to be noticed, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, if I go to the gym a ton and I wear a super tight shirt, I want people to notice that I've been going to the gym a bunch, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's dope. And but that doesn't mean I want somebody licking my fucking nipples.
Yeah.
Like...
yeah, and it's like, and that's a natural thing to be like, I want to feel comfortable in my body. I want people to, also, like, be okay with that. But that doesn't mean that they want some creepy person, like... And that doesn't give that person an excuse to.
Yeah.
Because there are so many humans out there that aren't like, oh...
She was jogging in her sports bra, so she obviously wanted to fuck me.
Yeah.
No.
There's a lot of people out there like, nope, no. So it's not hard to be like, I'm going to draw a line here.
Yeah.
And we need to, like, we need to stress that as a society. Like, other people's actions are not an excuse for you to be a shitty person.
Mm-hmm.
It never will be.
No.
What other people do does not affect what you become as a person.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was kind of a bunny trail.
Yeah, that was a lot of fucking topics, but that was good. All right, so we got cut off there a little bit. Sorry about that, but I hope you guys have a wonderful day. That was the second episode of the Forest Walker Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.